Topics: civics, civil rights, climate change, COVID-19, existentialism, fascism, human rights. In a speech 40 years ago to a group of conservative preachers, Heritage Foundation founder Paul Warrick said, "Now many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now." As a matter of fact, he continued, our leverage in the elections quite candidly goes up as the voting populace goes down. Warrick's idea continues to animate the GOP today. In dismissing a Democratic push for reforms, including vote-by-mail, same-day registration, and early voting to assist state-run elections in the midst of the deadly COVID-19 pandemic, Donald Trump opined, they had things, levels of voting that if you'd ever agree to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again. Starting with Nixon's Southern strategy in 1968, through Warrick's candid acknowledgement in 1980, to Donald Trump's numerous rants, the GOP has consistently stood against reasonable voter registration laws and fair and equitable access to the polls, because they know they lose in a battle of ideas. Wake up, folks, the campaign against democracy continues. Bill Dwyer, Oak Park, and River Forest letters to the editor, Opinion, Wednesday Journal. November 18, 2020, updated February 11, 2021. The modern gang of Putin is Paul Warrick's wet dream. There is a through line from Barry Goldwater to Warrick, Warrick to Nixon, Nixon to Reagan, Reagan to Orange Satan. Goldwater got some disingenuous ads against him, painting him as crazy enough to start a thermonuclear war. Lyndon Baines Johnson won 486 electoral votes to Goldwater's 52. It was then Goldwater, years before Watergate, coined you've got to hunt where the ducks are. The ducks were the disaffected Southern Dixiecrats in Deep Depression because civil rights and voting rights from the U.S. Constitution were being extended to African Americans. When you have privilege, equal justice seems like persecution. Privilege is a kind of willful blindness. For white supremacist power, party insiders weren't, and aren't, willing to remove the scales. Former President George W. Bush indicted the January 6, 2021 attempted coup in his remarks at the 20-year anniversary observance of 9/11. Bush, however, appointed federal judges during his tenure in a nod to Goldwater, Warrick, and Nixon's Southern strategy. George W. Bush signed the reauthorization of the Voting Rights Act when it was a bipartisan affair. It is now seen as existential for Democrats and disposable for Republicans. The 2000 election was controversial. Bush won the Electoral College and lost the popular vote, the second Republican presidential candidate to do so in this century. His party's nominees have lost the popular vote in 7 out of 8 presidential elections, and, by their admission, they are demographically shrinking. Bush's defense attorneys in Florida were Chief Justice John Roberts, and Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, 3 of 5 judges appointed by presidents who lost the popular vote. The Patriot Act was seen as government overreach into civil liberties and birthed a lot of blogs on the left as mainstream media ignored it for access journalism. We're reeling from the expense of the Afghanistan and Iraq wars, one too long in duration, and the other added via obfuscation. He may not have been as extreme as we currently see his party exhibiting, but he did inadvertently till the soil of institutional doubt. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given its colored people a bad check, a check that has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we have come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and security of justice. We have also come to his hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream, August 28, 1963. The Wages of Whiteness, a book by David R. Roediger, I used to juxtapose the check America is still trying to cash with African Americans without sufficient funds. The wage of this whiteness was supposed to have sufficiency in perpetuity. All it needed were pariahs that they could blame for any societal faux pas. The economy and welfare were the faults of young bucks and welfare queens, not oligarchs and tax cheats. We were patriotic and resolute until Iran-Contra occurred, flooding weapons to the Contras, and drugs to Compton. culture wars were always the right's whitewashed sepulchres, dead tombs with a facade of rose-covered balconies and rainbow farts out of unicorns. The pariah label was extended to all BIPOC, and karma is making them the majority by 2042. The check for the balance of supremacy is draining inexorably from the church bank account of the whitewashed sepulchre. The latest in a trilogy of one-word title tomes by Bob Woodward, starting with Fear, Rage and the apt named Peril, where the current chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to ensure that the former occupant of the Oval Office didn't launch World War III to stay in power. The Russian puppet and his cult followers confuse treason to the Constitution with loyalty to him. Fun fictional fact: Star Trek's version of Armageddon happens in 2026. Texas is a laboratory for instigating the Handmaid's Tale. Second Amendment rights trumps, pun intended, bodily autonomy. South Dakota's governor always looks high, giving the middle finger to masks and Lakota sacred grounds on the 4th of July during the alpha phase of the pandemic, and Florida's governor has the well-earned nickname Death Sandies that will stick in his bid for re-election and higher office. A heat map of COVID hotspots in California is almost an exact replica of the electoral areas that started the California recall. You can replicate that map in red states versus blue states. The entire party has devolved into a Dunning-Kruger death cult. Unskilled and unaware of it, how difficulties in recognizing one's own incompetence lead to inflated self-assessments, Justin Kruger and David Dunning, Cornell University. Abstract. People tend to hold overly favorable views of their abilities in many social and intellectual domains. The authors suggest that this overestimation occurs, in part, because people who are unskilled in these domains suffer a dual burden. Not only do these people reach erroneous conclusions and make unfortunate choices, but their incompetence robs them of the metacognitive ability to realize it. Across four studies, the authors found that participants scoring in the bottom quartile on tests of humor, grammar, and logic grossly overestimated their test performance and ability. Although their test scores put them in the 12th percentile, they estimated themselves to be in the 62nd. Several analyses linked this miscalibration to deficits in metacognitive skill, or the capacity to distinguish accuracy from error. Paradoxically, improving the skills of participants, and thus increasing their metacognitive competence, helped them recognize the limitations of their abilities. After Watergate, the right deliberately designed an echo chamber to tell itself everything they wanted to hear: good, not bad, propaganda, not history, fiction, not reality. Karl Rove told reporter Ron Suskind, the aide said that guys like me were in what we call the reality-based community, which he defined as people who believe that solutions emerge from your judicious study of discernible reality. That's not the way the world really works anymore, he continued. We are an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously, as you will act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do. There is a district in Texas that every 2 years, consciously re-elects Louis Gohmert to the U.S. House of Representatives, the disparage my asparagus former judge and lawyer. Nonplussed initially, former Attorney General Eric Holder responded with the sickest burn a year later in 2014, "Good luck with your asparagus." North Carolina U.S. Republican Representative Madison Cawthorn crashed a school board meeting in Henderson, North Carolina to troll Governor Roy Cooper about masks. Key point, he wasn't there. Couple that with his abysmal grades the 1 year he attended college. At this point, I cannot take him, or the rest of his party, seriously. I may not have been a fan of Ronald Reagan, but Reaganism stood for something. Trumpism is sadistic Seinfeld. They're all white grievance minstrels, performance artists, professional trolls, and nihilists. Owning the libs is all they live for. The asylum inmates running for office currently are mean girl teenagers running on the population and likes of their Instagram and Twitter accounts. Their platform is an empty wagon, making a lot of noise and doing nothing. Idiocracy did not take 500 years of political entropy, it just took the desperation of a party that sees its power waning, and is clinging to power at all cost, even if that wage paid is the Republic. The fundamental cause of the trouble is that in the modern world the stupid are cocksure while the intelligent are full of doubt. Bertrand Russell.